Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 9th episode of Late Night Crimecast. I'm your host, Robin Steffens, and every week on Wednesday, I'm going to post a new true crime story. I will cover stories that are local, stories that got a lot of media attention, and everything in between. This episode, we will be discussing the disappearance of Elaine Park. Elaine Park disappeared when she was just 20 years old. She was a Korean-American girl with brown hair and brown eyes. She stood at 5'6 and was 125 pounds at the time of her disappearance. She had a tattoo of a cow skull and a moth on her left arm, a flower tattoo on her left shoulder, and a dagger on her right arm. She had piercings in her ears and nose. She was also known to suffer from depression, which is pretty important for later in the story, so I'm just going to mention that now. So Elaine was born on September 24th, 1996 in California, and she would be 23 today. She grew up in La Crescenta, California with her mother, Susan Park. Her mom says that they weren't as close as she wished they could have been, and that a recent divorce between her and Elaine's father put Elaine through a depression. Elaine seemed to have struggled with her parents' divorce, and she just wasn't close to them. But this was a completely different story with everyone else. She was described as being playful, outgoing, and spunky. She was a beautiful girl who was drawn to fashion and music. She had a lot of personality and a large group of friends. She was really popular. As a teenager, she attended Crescenta Valley High School and was a known cheerleader. And then outside of school, she was interested in the arts, and she allowed her love for musical theater and dance to grow. She appeared in many productions and joined various dance companies, and with that being said, it should be mentioned that Elaine was also an aspiring actress. She had appeared in several minor roles in TV shows and movies. She had roles in Crazy Stupid Love, Desperate Housewives, ER, and on Mad TV. So, of course, to continue to build her resume, she decided that she was going to move to Los Angeles after graduating high school. And that she did. She graduated and started attending Pierce College in Los Angeles, and after taking a couple of courses, she ended up actually dropping out. And around the same time, she also got laid off from her job at a local restaurant. This was all, like, right before she went missing. And I want to talk about it more in depth later, so take note of these life events. I feel like they're very important to this story, and I will just talk about it when I discuss the theories on what really happened to her. But for now, I want to talk about the disappearance. Even though Elaine and her mother were not super close, they talked often. Her mom, Susan, last spoke with Elaine on January 27th, 2017. Elaine had asked to borrow $20 from her mom, and she assured her that she would pay her back the next day. So then the next day comes around, January 28th, 2017. Her mom texts and even calls her a few times, and all the texts go unanswered. All the calls go unanswered. For her mom, she felt like this was very strange. So immediately, you know, she has that motherly instinct, and she knows something's wrong, so she calls the local law enforcement. And unfortunately, they convinced her to wait an extra day before filing the report. They tell her not to worry, that Elaine was probably fine, and would contact her in the next day or so. And I know that there are rules and regulations with this kind of thing, especially when reporting an adult missing, but the significance of time in a missing person's case, like, in my opinion, every second counts. So the fact that an entire day passed before she could have been reported missing is just so unfortunate to me. So January 29th comes around and there's still no word from Elaine. And on January 30th, a missing persons report is officially filed. Police get involved and they try to find any evidence possible leading up to Elaine's disappearance. So soon, the police find out that on January 27th, Elaine was with her boyfriend. And I kind of say that with quotes because they were really on and off. So this boyfriend of hers, he is the son of a prominent Hollywood businessman. And his family, they lived on a large estate in a gated Calabasas neighborhood. So they're living large. They're a very rich, affluent family. And of course, they have surveillance. So these cameras really play a lot into the evidence that the police have. The cameras show Elaine driving to the house in her 2015 Honda Accord, and they show the couple leaving the home to go to the movies a while after in an Uber. And this is all on January 27th, the last day that Elaine's mother heard from her. So she was alive and well. She was at her on and off again boyfriend's house. They went to the movies. They left in an Uber. Everything is fine. And so I guess the couple, they go to the movies and they come back around 1 a.m. And this is shown on these surveillance cameras. They end up going into the home, and the rest is really just assumed or word of mouth. But the assumption made is that they go in and Elaine sleeps over. And so this next part is really just from her boyfriend and his point of view. According to him, they were both sleeping, and Elaine, she just suddenly wakes up. And this was like around 4 a.m. He describes her as shaking and singing, and he believes that she was having a panic attack. So I'm guessing she's like really upset. There's probably lots of confusion because of how late it is. They were just sleeping. So I'm unsure like if everything he says is exactly as he imagined it, like the shaking and singing. But this is just what he says. Elaine clearly was triggered about something, and at that point she was just wanting to go. Her boyfriend said that he tried to convince her to stay at the home, but that she got dressed and decided to leave anyway. So, I guess somewhere in between 6 and 6:05, I'm gonna say, Elaine is seen leaving the home and walking to her vehicle on the surveillance cameras. She is alone, but according to Elaine's mother, Susan, who received copies of the tape from her boyfriend and his mother, she says that she did not see Elaine enter her vehicle and drive away. She says that the tape suddenly cuts off at 6:05 a.m. before Elaine gets into her vehicle. Now, I just want to say that there are news sources that have printed contradictory information saying that Elaine can be seen getting into her vehicle and leaving the property. Also, police have said the same thing. A sergeant involved with the case says, and I quote, "We can see she left on her own and that he, her boyfriend, stayed at his residence that night." So then we jump a little bit. It's a bit weird. Around 7:14 a.m. on a separate surveillance tape given to Susan and, the police, of course, Elaine's vehicle can be seen exiting the neighborhood through the secured community gate. So police are certain that this is Elaine driving the car, and the plates, they can be seen and are confirmed match. But the mother, she says it was almost pitch black out at the time that the video was recorded, and that there's no way to tell for sure who's driving. So really, I feel like with the mother, there are heavy implications that the boyfriend was involved, or that at least someone in his family was involved, that someone else was driving the car. But the officials say differently, and I'm just gonna go with the officials for this time being, because they tend to think differently than a mother who is clearly traumatized because her daughter is missing. I mean, I am in no way dismissing her and her opinions, but I'm just saying that I want to entertain what the officials think, what the authorities think. That Elaine left her boyfriend's house alone, that she was clearly seen leaving alone and driving out of the neighborhood alone, And that there's proof that her boyfriend was never in the car with her and never left with her. The issue for me is that if the camera timestamps are right, she was in that neighborhood for over an hour, and a lot of that time is unaccounted for. Because I said that she had gotten into her car around 6:05 a.m. and then was seen leaving around 7:14 a.m. So that's a lot of time. That's a lot of time difference. I mean, I don't want to make any claims, but this is just a simple observation. I don't think it's been confirmed anywhere that the times were incorrect, but I certainly hope that was checked into. I feel like it's really common for cameras and their timestamps to be off or wrong in some capacity. So, say that the timestamp on the cameras for the neighborhood were off. It would make sense if they were an hour ahead because then Elaine would have left the neighborhood at 6:14 a.m. and that would be only 9 minutes after leaving her boyfriend's house. That would make a lot more sense than over an hour. So, there's the issue with the timestamps. It could totally just be that, cameras are just wrong. And so I don't make a big deal of that. But anyway, the cameras, they show her leaving, and that's pretty much all caught up to where I began. I mean, there are no other images or surveillance footages of Elaine, and that was the last time she was seen. It was 7:14 or 6:14 a.m. of January 28th, and that was the same day when she stopped answering her calls and texts. So that was the last time she was seen, but that's not the last time her car was seen. On Thursday, February 2nd, Elaine's 2015 Honda Accord is found. This is 5 days after her disappearance. The car was actually located by a sheriff's deputy who noticed it abandoned on the shoulder of the Pacific Coast Highway, just south of Carroll Canyon Road in Malibu. The location was approximately 20 miles from her boyfriend's residence and surrounded by businesses and houses. The police that found the car ran the plates on it, and the connection to her case was made. There was no indication of how long the vehicle was left on the side of the road, but the car was unlocked and the keys were still in the ignition. The car's battery was dead. Elaine's driver's license, makeup, money, phone, computer, and backpack were all found inside the vehicle as well. So this is good, right? They have her car and a possible final location for where Elaine could have been. So the police, they do a thorough search of the surrounding areas, including the coastline and Carroll Canyon. They have four bloodhounds and a diving team utilized, but after a day of searching, nothing is found. No new evidence, no trail, nothing. So after that, there's really no updates, there's no more evidence found, there's nothing, no tips, anything. This case really just like went silent. Then in September 2017, there's unreleased surveillance footage shared with the public. It shows an unknown vehicle that looks to be an SUV in the Calabasas area around the same time that Elaine was seen leaving her boyfriend's house. The vehicle struck investigators as odd, as there was no reason for it to be there at the time. But honestly, wouldn't Elaine's 2015 Honda look strange leaving that neighborhood around that time as well? I feel like the police were probably hoping to make a connection, but I just don't know if it's relevant. Regardless, they sent out a plea for information regarding it, and I have no idea if they found out its owner, the reason why they were there. Nothing has really come of that. Other than that, nothing really relevant happened in this case. Except for around the 1 year anniversary of Elaine's disappearance, a hiker discovered a dead body in Malibu Bluffs Park, and I think that's pretty close to where her car was found. But unfortunately, they figured out that it wasn't Elaine's body and it wasn't connected to this case. So now I want to get into what I think happened. The police have listed Elaine as a critical missing person and have stated that they are unable to rule out the chance of foul play. And with foul play, I want to talk about the boyfriend. This mysterious, super rich, on and off again boyfriend that was the last one to physically be with her and the last one to see her. He would honestly be the number one suspect to anyone looking at this case. Many people online think so. I'm sure many people who heard the case and who heard who she was last with probably think so too. People think that because he has connections and he's rich, that he was essentially able to get away with harming Elaine. And this theory is usually something I would jump at. The boyfriend did it. I mean, isn't that a thing in nearly all cases like this? It's the boyfriend or the husband that did it. Now let me tell you why I don't think he did. First of all, the police, they say that her boyfriend has been very, very cooperative. And usually I feel like when people commit a crime, they don't cooperate really, or they seem nervous. And it seems like the police haven't been getting that kind of hint from him. And so they do not have him as a suspect. And I think that the main reason that I really believe that he isn't the person who did this, or that he wasn't involved, is because his movements could be tracked. I mean, they have cameras all over. They clearly have surveillance everywhere. Even leaving out of his neighborhood, there's surveillance. The police officials, they said that they could see that Elaine got into her car alone, and that even if she didn't, like, let's say it was her boyfriend, they would still be able to track him coming back and his movements in and out of the house, in and out of the neighborhood. Unless he and the police are in cahoots, it would be very hard to miss. Now, the only issue I find with this is that Elaine's mother claims that neither her boyfriend's property nor the neighborhood he lives in has been searched. And, I mean, it's impossible to know what's true or not, but if so, that could be viewed as very suspicious. Like, why didn't they check the last place she was really seen? But yeah, let me tell you guys what I think happened more realistically. I mentioned twice before that Elaine had a history of depression. She had struggled with her parents' divorce. She had been let go by her job. She dropped out of school. And she honestly was probably in a toxic relationship. I tend to view on and off relationships as toxic ones. So, I mean, nothing in her life was probably going as planned as she thought it would. You know, after school, she was probably planning to go to Los Angeles, start up her career as an actress, things like that. But it doesn't seem like things were going as she wanted to. I mean, hell, she was waking up in the middle of the night with panic attacks. She clearly had something going on in her life, maybe something she couldn't share with her parents that she wasn't that close to. I mean, she wasn't close to her parents. And she clearly had mental health issues. I honestly think with the buildup of everything and her mental state, she may have taken her own life. Her family, they don't believe that she would do something like that, but I honestly think it's a possibility. In this case, the only reason that I feel like foul play could still be a possibility is because there has been nobody found and nobody turned up. That's the hardest part. And I mean, it doesn't have to be foul play. For all we know, she could be alive living under a different identity. But it's just the fact that she didn't bring anything with her. Nothing was stolen from her. All her belongings are in her car. Her car was completely intact. There is no mention anywhere that there were signs of struggle, no evidence of anything near the car. It really leads me to believe that Elaine was complicit in her own disappearance in one way or another. So that's going to be it for this episode. Hope you guys like the new shorter intro. I think I'm going to keep it like that for now. So don't forget to listen in next week, and don't forget to check on the Late Night Crimecast Instagram page. And yeah, that's it. Until next time, guys. Bye.
Thank you.